things that he did. Now,
where did we live before?
Egypt.
He traveled away from Egypt to here.
It's not that far.
Didn't it take 40 years?
He was in 50 years in Cairo. What?
No, that's because he was...
Take the Jewish people 40 years?
Because
we just went to the... Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to English Humor. What?
don't judge me as English. And
he's a bank.
He's saying that...
I've got bad humor.
No. You have great humor. And that was just a joke, and you shouldn't take it personally. It's Ari and Kip Rabbit. Apologize. Okay. My boy said, listen, we spoke about something. I want to read you this tshuva, fascinating tshuva, before we get into spooky stories. Should we do a spooky story first?
Can I ask
a spooky story first? Yeah.
Does that happen often? Like with the thing, like if he would have made, if somebody makes a different decision, then Mashiach would have come?
There are numerous stories about that type of thing. There's a story recently. There's a story recently about none other than Rabbi David Abuchatzer. Are you familiar with that story?
No.
Okay, this is a somewhat famous story. I did not verify it with him, and I will not, because people, when you ask these types of questions, they get angry. Yeah. But supposedly,
he's still alive.
Rabbi David Chatzer lives in Nahariya.
Where's Nahariya?
Where's Nahariya? Where's Nahariya?
North.
Where north?
Up north.
Where east north? Or west?
East.
West.
No. Whatever. That.
That's right. That way. The ocean side.
Go back to America.
That's the west.
He's like a big.
Rabbi David Abuchatzer is a grandson of the Baba Sali.
Oh, he's holy.
Okay, he's a holy Jew. The Rabbi David Abuchatzer, so the story goes. Now, Rabbi David Abuchatzer.
Could you go see him also?
Yeah, that's right. There.
That's a whole different story. Okay, to see Rabbi David, first of all, if you want to go in, Rabbi Stark, his family is very close with him, so he's really a better hookup than I am. Let's go to Rabbi David. The yeshiva has gone to Rabbi David more than once, but there's tremendous lachatz. You don't get much time with Rabbi David. It's like just go Jew, move, and it could be you won't even shake your hand. It'll just goodbye, and it's like tremendous lachatz by Rabbi David. What?
What's the point of that?
If you want to be in the presence of Rabbi David, you get a
brach
from him. You get a brach from him. Anyway, the story goes as follows. Rabbi David, as you can tell from the story, gets lots and lots of people that pass by him every day. I mean, till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, there's people waiting, and there's lines, and there's pushing, and there's this, and there's that. It's all matzah by Rabbi David. Anyway, one night, Rabbi David had a dream. So they say, did I dream? And Mashiach came to him in a dream. Mashiach said, why didn't you stand up for me? I came to visit you. You didn't stand up. If you would have stood up, Mashiach would have come.
And then he will come.
What? They say that Rabbi David stands up now for everyone that walks in the room. He stands the whole time. He doesn't sit anymore. So someone asked him, why are you standing? So he told him that this is the reason. That's what people say. Now, I wouldn't ask him. I'm not that close with him that I could ask him this question. Even people that I'm close with, sometimes you ask him these types of questions, they don't like to talk about it. Anyway, so the story goes. But yes, there are numerous stories about it. The point is the generation wasn't ready. One of the spooky stories is about this. Hey, you ready? Spooky story, here it goes. I wish I could find it. It's in this book. It's a great story. Where the Shla HaKadosh, the Ari, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and I'm going to say the Chida. They decided. I think there's the three people. They decided, it's time to bring Mashiach. I'm just going to bring Mashiach. They spent 30 days prepping themselves, fasting and davening and everything. And one night, the three of them came together on a roof. And they stood davening and crying, Tichon Chatzos, and crying their hearts out. And all of a sudden, it's a big wind knocked them over. And they heard a bas kol shamayim that the time has not come. Don't do this. And Ragoizon and the three of you can no longer be together in the same town. And the three of you have to separate, because the three of them had the spiritual power to be able to bring Mashiach, and it wasn't time yet. So therefore, the three of them had to disperse, and never again would they be together. That is the story that they have over here somewhere in this book. I tried finding it, but I didn't have enough time, because you're all sitting here. But we could find this story if you want to see it. I'm not sure about the three names. Or Chaim, Shla HaKadosh, and the Chida. I might be off by one. It was like a discussion of who was going to be the three. They discussed it, these people, that people. It's a story in here. You can find the story. Anyway, it's not the time. So, you know, all these things, they almost happened. It almost could have came. It was almost this, almost that. You know, it wasn't like, you know, like bad luck or anything. Because, well, it wasn't the time. So it was like close to the time. and we had opportunities, and if we would have stepped up, maybe it would have happened, but we didn't, therefore we lost it. But it wasn't the time. Anyway.
So, wait, it doesn't make
spooky
sense.
Story number one. What?
This story doesn't. I'm saying not this one. The one with what?
With what?
The one with Rabbi Abuchatzera.
Rabbi David Abuchatzera.
So everyone's been davening for hundreds of years and everything. And if he would have stood up for him, that changes everything. And Mashiach comes.
No, because the reason he didn't stand up for him is because we're not
ready. If there's some. They say, I'll give you another example. They say that you know who Avram ben Avram is?
Yeah, Gev.
Who is? Yeah, who? What? I don't know anything about him. What? I'm going to try to find this story if I can while we're talking.
Is a story in the Chumash Talmidim about the flower?
Oh, this is another beautiful story.
The famous story in the Chumash Talmidim about the person who could have brought Mashiach. The flower, he cried.
Oh, that's a different story. Yeah.
Shouldn't have sold the flower for a piece of bread.
Sounds coming Monday night.
One person?
Oh, wow. Okay, these stories are like unbelievable. Not much unbelievable. Okay, Kitzer, another story. Where were we? Who is just telling me about a story? Oh, Avram and Avram was a fascinating story. If we go Bezrat Hashem to Poland this year, which is definitely a discussion going to Poland, one of the most amazing places to go right near. Let's like this. The most amazing thing is Slezhensk. Is like totally amazing to be Slezhensk. To be there on the yard side, thousands of people going there. It's unbelievable. That's Slezhensk. That's the most amazing thing. Right next to Slezhensk is a town called.
That looked like the town.
That town over there. This town right over there, right next to Slezhensk. I'm going to try to remember the name of the town. In the town, there is a huge castle. The name of the castle, the castle used to belong to someone named Graf Potocki. Graf Potocki was the wealthiest man in all of Europe. He was a, people would like, you know, people talk about like someone, Rockefeller, right? Speaking of Rockefeller, like, oh, you think I'm Rockefeller? You stay in Europe, you think I'm Potocki? You think I have a... Rothschild, Reichman, however you want to do it. A kid said, there's famous people that are known for being wealthy. In Europe, it was Potocki. Potocki was the big name. He was Graf Potocki. He was not Jewish. Totally, he was a regular guy. But he was the most wealthy man around over there. What's the name of the town? I forgot. It's a town right near there, which I'll probably remember soon. Anyway, it's an unbelievable sprawling. This was just one of his castles all over Europe. He had castles all over the place. He had a son who somehow was in university, I think, studying the Hebrew language, if I'm not mistaken. And he got involved in Judaism. As a matter of fact, he converted to Judaism. Now, for a Christian, for a son to convert to Judaism, back in the day, that was heresy. The most, heresy, and it was like terribly humiliating. And it was punishable by death.
The father?
The son converted.
Right, no, I'm saying who gets
the... No, the son. The father didn't do anything wrong. Oh, yeah. The father didn't do anything wrong. The father happened to have been, he was sympathetic to the Jews. The father was sympathetic to the Jews. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a Jew lover, but he was sympathetic to Jews. He was nice, relatively nice to Jews. Back in the day, Jews were like dogs. No dogs or Jews allowed. And he converted to Judaism. And he became close to the Vilna Gaon. This is the time of the Vilna Gaon. And eventually he was caught. Eventually, after they came looking for him, there was a whole search for him because this was like a terrible thing. And, obviously, if he would have, renounced his Judaism, they would have let him go because his father was the most powerful person in the world. But he refused to do that, and they burnt him at the stake.
His father had the power to go against the army?
No, they were willing. No, again, if he would have renounced his Judaism, they would have like, okay, we'll look away. If he wouldn't, then the church is not going to allow that. So that they wouldn't do, but because his father was so powerful, like, okay, let him just say that it was a mistake and then we'll let him live. Otherwise, they would have killed him anyway. Right? But he said no. He was burnt at the stake. He was burnt alive. And he made a bracha. Al Kiddush Hashem. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kiddush Anu Mitzvah Yisrael, Al Kiddush Hashem. As he was burning himself, as he was dying, he made that bracha. And there was someone there named Rabbi Alexander Ziskind. He's the Yisod V'Shorash HaAvodah. He wrote a sefer called Yisod V'Shorash HaAvodah. Right there. He wrote that sefer. He was present. There was no other Jews there. He was the only one there. He was hiding in the tree. And the Vilna Gaon said, if you would have said amen to that bracha, Mashiach would have come. That's how amazing that Kiddush Hashem was. So again, you have all these situations. So as a machlokes, you're supposed to make a bracha. The Vilna Gaon paskens, you're supposed to make a bracha and get a Hashem. Other people argue, it's a whole shaila, but being that he's a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, he made a bracha. He did not answer amen, and he says, well, maybe he did. Maybe Vilna Gaon said if there would have been a minion people saying amen to the bracha, maybe that's what he said. I forget the exact story, but again,
there's more, yeah.
There's always more. So the point is, it wasn't the time. It obviously was not the time. The point is, these are not like, you know, these are not like bad luck for us. It just wasn't the time because Baruch Hu wanted us to be here and wanted us to bring Mashiach, and we're going to do it this year. Bezrat Hashem.
Amen.
See if 10 of you would have said amen. Okay, everybody say, I want to read you this tshuva, very, very important tshuva, and then we're going to get back to some spooky stories. I got some great stories over here. Wow, great stories. Here goes. This is a tshuva from the Sefer Chashuk Echem, and Chashuk Echem is a Sefer written by someone named Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, Rav of a place called Ramat Gan. Does anyone know where Ramat Gan is? Right next to
Bnei Brak.
And he is the son-in-law of
Rabbi
Yitzchak Shalom Eliashiv Zechat Zadik Kosh Nebach. Here it is. Gain Zem Super Beish. Besef Isha Lachomash Shalom Ras Rav Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was here in Yerushalayim. He lived here in Yerushalayim in the old city. What? Not that I know of.
Let's talk about
Zonnen. Very careful to tell the truth. The Hikpit Shaloy Lashanas B'dibur Afilat Tzor Kadol. Never even. That's even a white lie. Never even like, you know, chain, even never even like bended the truth. Ulam. Kishar bo l'sharla mutter lahatzir bebeis hamishva de mishu shenol b'yishalayim. Aydei ze yikabu rishon chuki lalos l'eretz Yisrael. Let's say, is he allowed to go? And he, someone asked him. Kishar bo l'sharlo. Other people came to ask him. Mutter lahatzir. One is allowed to testify. Bebeis hamishpat in a court of law. Al mishu shenol b'yishalayim. Someone is born in Yerushalayim. Are you allowed to testify? Someone was born in Yerushalayim, even if he really wasn't. Then he'll get a permit to come to Eretz Yisrael, or papers, whatever it's called. You want to get papers, come to Eretz Yisrael. You're allowed to do it. It's not a lot. Kivan, listen to this. Shadarshu Chazal Neseches Ksubis Daf Ayin Hey. Es a pasuk. Ulatzion Yomer Ish VeIsh Yulad Ba. Vuhu yichayneneha elyoin. Amar of Maisha ben Birya, Rabbi Yishuv Levi. Echad anoylad ba, vechad hametzap eliroisoi. Whether you were born there or you just want to see it. Pirush Rashi, lasid lover kishyekayim mikwa shakasi veviu as kol achirim mincha l'Hashem, kol mokam shim tzusham Yisrael, yomar amim zehu mibnei tzioin. Zeyulad ba shenivei l'Hashem. This is an Eretz Yisrael diki yit. Ish ish is yorak adorish echad anoylibah ve'echad ametzap aloroisa yikra mibaneha v'yavo etzla. They are called her sons. So if you just want to be in Eretz Yisrael, you're called one of her sons. So he says, Hare afapi shenloi noilad b'tzioin chashev hu shenoilad b'tzioin. It says in the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Tzion yomer ish ish yulad ba. And we dash it on it. Echad anoylad ba v'echad ametzap aloroisa. If I want to see it, also called yulad ba. So we see from here, Ava bishaloi noylad b'tzion, chashavu noylad b'tzion. Lachin roshi shiyishava, shenoylad b'yishalayim, kiven shu metzap aloroisa, v'nechem es'tion b'yishalayim. Unbelievable. Every person is supposed to see himself as if he's from where?
Yishalayim.
The Ostrovtzer Goyen, Rav Meir Yechiel HaLevi Ostrovtzer, never stepped foot in Eretz Yisrael. If anyone asked him, where's he from? You know what he said? I'm from Yerushalayim. Never even stepped foot in here. As he said, I am from Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael. Right? Why? Because every person is supposed to feel like this is their home. This is going home. This is coming home. This is their hometown. This is their home team. Right? One of my issues that I have with people following sports is because anyone here from New York, from Chicago, you follow sports? Asherecha. Anyone here from New York, you follow sports?
A little bit.
What teams do you follow? What teams
I don't
do
you follow? I follow some Boston.
Arsenal.
Oh, so you follow Boston teams? Patriots? Celtics?
Patriots. Celtics and Scotland.
You're right. It's the same type of thing. And you, Yossi, you're from New York.
Yeah.
You follow sports at all?
Yeah.
What teams do you like?
Giants.
Oh.
Funny
my condolences.
What? What's wrong with that?
Honestly.
So what's my issue with that? Why let me ask you, why do you follow New York teams? Why New York teams? Because you're a New Yorker. That's why. Because you feel proud when New York teams do well. Mets are in first place. We're like all excited. Oh yeah, let's go. Those are my Mets. Let's go Mets. There was a fight in a football game.
Not the Mets.
No. 49ers. No, it wasn't Seahawks. No, just a few days ago. There's a big.
No, we don't know from these things, Jerry.
Yeah, guys, I got to give you an education. What are you doing tonight? I'm just kidding.
Don't
erase that, please. Listen. Well, that's not a whistle. It's almost your kipper. I really joke. Listen, there was just a fight. There was mamish a big fight in the game. Like, a guy was, they caught it on, it was on camera. Someone got it on camera on their phone. Someone was beaten very badly at a football game because he followed the opposing team.
That's not on us. They have riots by every game.
Yeah, no, soccer is even worse. People get killed at soccer games.
That country.
Literally.
Maybe that country was country. We're state. We're state. That country
going killed since the Hillsborough. That's in 19.
That's not necessarily because they're fighting.
Like there was a big fight at a Los Angeles Dodgers game that was very famous where they mamish they like beat a guy. You know, yeah, mamish. It's like crazy. It's insane. It's insane because we're so protective of our team. This is my team because I'm a New Yorker. Don't mess with the Rangers or the Islanders or the Yankees or the Mets or whatever. But why? It's because we feel affinity towards that place. We think this is our home, and it's a big mistake. Now, if you tell me, you know, I'm going to go start following the Boston Red Sox. So now you're following with Boston, so you also got Boston, but whatever. That's okay. Go ahead. You follow the Boston Red Sox. Tell me how that feels, right? You know, it's just not the same anymore because it's not my team. It's not my boys. It's not the hood. You know what I'm saying? It's not the boys. It's my boys. The whole thing is ridiculous. They import a bunch of Puerto Ricans from, you know, and all of a sudden these are the boys. You know what I mean? There's some Japanese. Amosaki. What's the guy's name? What?
Cuba,
Japan. What's that? There's a pitcher on the Yankees. Got a funny name.
Masio
Tanaka. He's not even good, right?
Okay.
Shvachamaisis. They pay like who knows how much money. All of a sudden, he's a New Yorker. He's not a New Yorker. It's that whole thing is like just ridiculous. Make all these things. So, Rabbi Isai, a person has to realize we root for the Jerusalem Maccabees.
Yeah.
That's the home team.
Right now. Woo!
Even though we lose.
Is that an American football team?
There's no such thing as Jerusalem. It's the
real football in Israel.
Anyway, we don't follow Israeli sports at all. But my point is that this has to be your home team. This is your home. This is your home. Are you familiar with the story about the Chofetz Chaim? There's a song. They just did a beautiful song about that. Nice song, no? Nice. It's a story about the Chofetz Chaim. Someone came to Chofetz Chaim. You have to understand, the Chofetz Chaim had nothing in his house. Nothing. His son-in-law had window shades, and he was like appalled, like, you know, way too much gashmias, window shades. And the Chofetz Chaim had nothing. Somebody in the house is like, so
you don't have window shades.
We just got doors. We just got doors.
I have high expectations for you guys. You know? Someone said,
thanks for the doors.
You're welcome. Someone said, like, where's all your furniture? So the Chofetz Chaim, where's all the furniture? So the Chofetz Chaim responded, where's all your furniture? So I'm just passing through here. So I said, I'm also just passing through.
Ow.
You know that I'm just passing through. So the Chofetz Chaim told everyone, go to Eretz Yisrael. Everyone, go to Eretz Yisrael. That's our home. You are not home. That's what a person has to realize. That's what's mutter for a person to say, I am from Israel. So if anyone ever asks you, you know, no la de tapo, atay Yisrael, ken, betach, ken. You could say,
Israel's known as holy as it used to be. There's more schmutz here than in Manchester.
This is what Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld is not talking about.
I know, it's my brother's great-grandfather.
It's not that long ago.
I know.
It's a great-grandfather's.
Okay, Rabbi Isai, story. You ready for a story?
Yeah.
Here goes the story. It was spring day sometime in the 1630s. The date was Zion Adar. And a Jewish Moshe Rabbeinu died in
Takish.
And a Jewish boy burst into the yeshiva. They're coming to kill us, the Muslims. What happened? It was actually Shabbos. Story happened on Shabbos. No, wrong story. This is the wrong story. Okay, there's another story here. I gotta find this story. Oh man, I gotta find another story. It's not here. Okay. Okay, it's a great story. Maybe it's earlier. Here. The hidden treasure. Mishmeres. Pasha's ultimatum. Here it is. Sorry, new story. Earlier. Can't tell you exactly when. Mid-16th century. Ashkenazic Jew by the name of Rav Kolonimus, the son of Rav Yaakov, lived in Yerushalayim. He was a very, very saintly man, as well as a Torah scholar of repute. Everyone respected him and honored him accordingly. One Shabbos morning, there were people in the Talmud Torah Shul, which stood next to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Shul, were shocked at the sight that greeted them in the house of worship. A Muslim child lay dead on the floor. Before they can assess the situation, a squad of Arab soldiers sent by the Qadi is a person in charge, like the mayor, arrived. The Jews were accused of kidnapping the youth and killing him. Within minutes, Jews were being rounded up and arrested. The Arab mob started gathering. The Muslims were yelling out, "Murderers!" Tension mountains and violence threatened to erupt. Jewish woman cried out, "My son, my husband is innocent!" Then tried to escape. Some in the synagogue down to the houses. The serene beauty of Shabbos had been shattered to the core. As a number of suspects were dragged off for interrogation, the crowd dispersed from the courtyard of the shul. Quickly, Rav Kolonimus entered the shul and approached the corpse lying in the aisle. He turned to the few people in the synagogue and asked them to leave him alone with the dead child. He walked over to the cupboard and took out a pen and paper. He wrote some holy names on the paper, and through a Kabbalistic meditation, he was able to revive the child. He spoke to the Arab boy and got him to admit who killed him. He then made the child swear to tell the truth to the Qadi. Rav Kolonimus took the boy by the hand and led him through the streets of the city to the house of the Qadi. That's the mayor. An angry mob of Arabs stood outside the Qadi's house demanding death of all the Jews. When they saw the blood-stained child walking by the side of the old Jew, they froze in silence. Rav Kolonimus entered the house. "What is this?" demanded the Qadi. "Here is the dead boy." Rav Kolonimus' voice rang out, "Asking yourself who raised the knife and killed him last night." The Qadi, shocked by the presence of the dead boy before him, weakly managed to command the boy to speak. Speaking in a low voice, the boy described the events of the previous night and how, in a fit of anger, so-and-so, a Muslim, hit him and stabbed him to death. Turning slowly, he pointed to the murderer and cried out in a chilling voice, "He killed me." The Arab tried to escape from the house, but was immediately apprehended by the soldiers. With a hysterical confession, the spell of the boy was broken, and once again, he died. Immediately, the Qadi ordered the release of all the Jews. This quick and decisive action of Kolonimus successfully diverted what might have been a genocide in the entire Jewish population of Jerusalem. However, Rav Kolonimus was upset and agitated. In order to save the community, he had to profane the Shabbos by writing. True, the imperative of saving life overrides laws of Shabbos, but the necessity to break these laws bothered him for the rest of his life. When he passed away, he was buried at Har Hazesim. Shortly before his death, he requested that for the next 100 years, anyone passing his grave throw stones at it. By voluntarily forsaking his honor and submitting himself to such a degrading, contemptuous act, he hoped to atone for his quote-unquote sin.
Wow.